7 million Syrians now need humanitarian assistance. That's the latest estimate from the United Nations, which says the Assad regime in Damascus is hindering the distribution of aid. The UN Security Council has also been hearing that more than 4 million people there have been displaced, and another million have sought shelter in neighbouring countries. The organisation's High Commissioner for Refugees, Antonio Guterres, said the figures were terrifying and risked becoming unsustainable. Jeremy Bowen, in the Syrian capital, has been talking to people trying to get on with their lives in the midst of this civil war.
In the news business, the word tragic can be overused. That does not apply in Syria. In this place, it feels more like an understatement. A doctor in one of the military hospitals in Damascus struggled to find the right words. Everyone does. In the end, he just said, "I don't recognize this place anymore. This is not our life," he said. "This is not our country." He talked as if he'd blundered into someone else's nightmare. "I used to tell my friends in Britain," he said, "to come to Syria because it was safe and wonderful." He was right. 3 years ago, I brought my mother and my daughter, then 9 years old, to Syria for a holiday. We walked through the old city of Damascus and drove up the highway to Aleppo, past Homs and Hama, and stopped off near Idlib at the deserted towns known as the Dead Cities. They are hundreds of settlements that sprawl across a high moorland that were abandoned more than 1,000 years ago. Syria was, as the doctor said, a friendly and safe place to visit. It isn't anymore. The other morning, the head of the UN World Food Programme in Syria, which feeds 2.5 million people every month, told me about a trip he's just done from Damascus to Aleppo. He said they went through 50 checkpoints on the road between Syria's two biggest cities. Just over half were government troops. Armed rebels manned the rest. President Assad was on TV this week. He denied there were any such things as liberated areas controlled by rebels in Syria. But the fact is that the only contact the president's men have with large parts of the country is through the sights of a weapon system. That even applies to districts of Damascus. The regime controls the core of the city, but much of the sprawling, impoverished ring of suburbs around it is in the hands of the rebels. That's why, all day and sometimes all night, there's the crump of artillery fire from the Syrian army's positions directed into the concrete jungles on the edge of town. The bangs are not constant, but they're regular and steady and sometimes intense. Right now, I can see a tall black column of smoke coming from a fire that the attacks have started in one of the rebel-held suburbs. I went down to the eastern end of government-controlled Damascus, just beyond Abbasine Square, which used to be one of its posher neighbourhoods. Sandbag military positions start in one of the roads off the square, which leads to a suburb called Jobar. Every so often, an armoured personnel carrier or a tank screeches around the Abbasine Square roundabout. In the streets that lead into the square, life goes on. Shops are open, though the prices of basics like tomatoes have doubled. I spoke to a woman who lives in direct line of sight of the rebels in Jobar. She was standing outside her local shopping mall and restaurant, which was battered and shuttered and barely functioning. It had a newly built blast wall where plate glass used to be. They've given up replacing the windows. Human beings are resilient. The woman, she didn't want me to use her name, said that she was planning a barbecue at the local cafe with her neighbours. But she was scared she'd be caught in the open by a stray bullet or one of the mortars that the now much more heavily armed rebels can lob out of their territory. I have no idea what's in the mind of President Assad, but I get the impression from people close to the regime that despite everything, they believe they're winning not just the war, but the argument. That's because their Russian and Iranian allies are holding firm, and because after 2 years, the Assads are still here. The former leaders of Tunisia, Egypt and Libya lasted, respectively, days, weeks and months after insurrections began. The Assads seem satisfied that their claim they're facing jihadist fighters has finally come true. Secular Syrians and others say the regime's own violence has created the conditions for jihadists to flourish. Mark Twain wrote that in Damascus, years were only moments. Time, he said, was measured by the empires the city has seen rise and fall. But people count their lives in months and years, families, friends, and jobs. Damascus and Syria will get through this. It's tragic that so many of its people will not.
And that's Jeremy Bowen.